If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
I'm surprising you with a female voice as I sit in for Christopher Ricketts here at Conservative Nation Radio on the Warrior Catholic Show. I'm happy to be with you tonight, and hopefully as I sit here in our really high-tech living room in front of the really high-tech iMac, we won't have any internet problems. In the event that we do have some excellent people standing by who can jump in at any time. So now that you are fairly warned, let's get this show on the road. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. I am excited to have an opportunity to rant at you a little bit, to discuss some of what's going on in pop culture, some of what's going on in politics, some of what's going on in the Catholic world. I have been told that I'm really good at talking, so I'm going to hope that that proves true tonight as I sit here in front of the silver microphone for a couple hours, spending some nice time with you fine people who might be out there listening. Once again, my name is Laura Ricketts. I'm filling in for Christopher here on the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176 if you'd like to be part of the show. On that note, I'm not interested in being trolled, so if you're out there and you're looking to do something entertaining, don't call me. I don't have the patience for it, and quite frankly, I'll just hang up on you. So don't consider that a challenge. Consider it a warning. Go find something else to do with your time. That said, phone number one more time, 718-305-7176. So I thought perhaps we'd talk a little bit about some, well, rather disturbing trends that seem to be happening in the culture. And I'd like to preface this by saying you may know that I spent some time in politics. I got my start in politics in the Herman Cain campaign way back before the primaries even started. And what prompted me to really dabble in politics, and I ended up getting much more involved than I ever thought I would, but really I realized that I was spending time at night afraid for what the future held for my children. And I realized I was losing sleep over this, over the fact that the America that I knew and the America that I grew up in wasn't the same anymore. It wasn't the America that my children were going to grow up in. And that terrified me. And so I took it to prayer. I started praying. You know, I needed to do something. I couldn't just sit idly by and let it happen. And so I, through prayer, I decided I was going to start looking at who the presidential candidates were going to be. And I came across this man, Herman Cain, and I instantly clicked with his message. He was very much a Tea Party conservative, but he spoke about how America needed to return to its Judeo-Christian roots, and how if America was going to have a chance, that we needed to return God to our culture, to our public life, not in an in-your-face way, but in a way that he always had been. And this really resonated with me, and so I started volunteering for him. And throughout my volunteering, I ended up becoming more and more involved in his campaign, to the point where I ended up being hired by his campaign. I was one of the 35 campaign staff that he had. I was his Virginia state director, and I did some work on policy. And really eye-opening, really exciting. I met some of the most outstanding Americans, outstanding patriots that this nation has through my work in the political realm. And I am so grateful for that opportunity. unfortunately, Mr. Kane didn't stick it out through the primary season. So I ended up moving on to Newt Gingrich. I worked for his campaign as the I started out as the national grassroots coordinator and then as the national volunteer director by the time that his ill-fated campaign came to an end. And after that, I took a look at Romney. His campaign was very insular, much to his demise. They weren't really looking for anyone other than the people they'd already worked with. And so I set my sights on the Senate instead, was the deputy campaign manager and senior strategist for Kevin Wade for U.S. Senate. Mr. Wade was the GOP nominee in the state of Delaware for the Senate race. And unfortunately, we know how that turned out as well, much like way too many of the Senate races in this country that we should not have lost, but we did. But throughout all this, I learned a lot. I learned a lot about the country. I learned a lot about the political system. I learned a lot about how it works behind the scenes in Washington. And I really came to the conclusion that if I was to have the change that I had hoped I was going to have, the reason why I became involved in the first place, that I needed to step back from politics and I needed to instead set my sights on the culture. And that I felt very strongly this was where my, if you want to call it talent, I don't know if I have any, some people say I do. If I do, that's where I wanted to focus my energies. And so that's sort of where I've been focusing now, on the culture. Because I really believe that the politicians we elect, they are much more a symptom, if you will, of where the culture stands than they are the agent for change in that culture. And so if we change our culture, if we change society, we will see politicians who reflect that change. If we become a culture of life, if we become a culture that upholds the dignity of our fellow human beings, then we will see politicians who will reflect those values. But I'm not so sure it can work the other way around, that if we elect politicians, I don't think it's possible for us to elect the politicians who are going to then legislate those changes. And I say this sadly in a way because I think a lot of us put a lot of hope in the political process, hoping that we can finally find leaders who are going to bring about these changes for us. And to some extent, we might find some. We might find, the Rand Pauls. We might find the Marco Rubios. We might find the Mia Loves, those individuals who have distinguished themselves as leaders and who also happen to be conservative. But at large, if we want to see politicians who are going to reflect the kind of change that we're hoping for, we have got to change the culture. And so that's sort of one of the things I want to touch on tonight with all of you is it's really just where are we as a culture? And I think there's one story that really sort of encapsulates where we are as a people, where we are in American culture, where we are as our youth, who are certainly going to shape the culture in the years, in the decades to come. And so I want to talk about this story with you tonight. I also would like to touch upon Pope Francis. How can I not? It's the Warrior Catholic Show, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll throw in the phone number here, 718-305-7176. How can I not mention our new Pope, Pope Francis, on a show called The Warrior Catholic? So we're going to talk about him a little bit. However, I do want to talk about our new Pope from a slightly different angle, one that sort of has me a little upset and a little riled up. So I'll leave you on the edge of your seat for that one. We'll get to that a little bit later as well. And we have a little bit more I'd like to touch on. I'd like to talk to you more also about conservatism, about what it means to be a conservative. And now, don't click off when I say this, but I'd like to also talk about the pitfalls and the danger of conservatism. Like I said, don't click off. I'm not going to tell you it's a bad thing or it's evil or anything like that. But I do think that if here on Conservative Nation Radio we declare ourselves to be conservatives, I think we need to honestly address where we might run into trouble. You know, any ideology is going to have its pitfalls. And if we are to be wise in as we move forward, then we need to know what those pitfalls are so we can avoid them. So I'd like to talk about that with all of you as well. Like I said, we've got a great show lined up tonight. I am going to talk your ear off. And once again, my name is Laura Ricketts. I'm filling in for Christopher. Yes, we have the same last name because he is my husband. I'm filling in for him tonight here on the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio, 718-305-7176. Can't promise I'll take your call, but you can call in and try anyway. So before we really begin in earnest some of our discussions, I would like to hear your opinions. And so if you think you'd like to chime in on Pope Francis, if you want to chime in on the culture, if you want to lend your two cents to what you think some of the pitfalls of conservatism might be, or, you know, warn me that maybe I shouldn't be talking about that on this Conservative Nation Radio, try to give a call. I do believe we have somebody who's screening the calls for me. I have to be honest with you. I'm new to this whole blog talk radio thing. I'm hitting the right buttons, I hope, at the right times and saying what I'm supposed to, when I'm supposed to say it. So bear with me and cut me a little slack out there, please, because like I said, I'm a newbie. My husband's the radio jockey in the family. I'm much better sitting in the background and helping out with a little bit of social media here and there. So that being said, I happen to have a dear friend who is also in this whole Conservative Nation Radio business. You'd probably never guess that there are conservative headbangers. If you want proof, just ask our own Christopher Manti. Join Christopher every Friday right here on conservativenationradio.org for the Christopher Manti Show at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, for a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of Sharia, and the weird, wild, wacky world of Washington, D.C. Plus, some heavy metal rock and roll. The Christopher Manti Show, which could readily be called eponymous. Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism. For real conservatives. All right, as I move on here through my stack of stuff, this is Laura Ricketts filling in for Christopher on the Warrior Catholic Show here on Conservative Nation Radio, 718-305-7176. So let's talk a little bit about this whole culture thing. Like I said before, I think there is one story out there that really sort of exemplifies where we are as a culture. It sort of really encapsulates a very scary reality that we are facing. And to tease it a little bit for you, because we're up here against a break in a minute, I'm sure you've all heard the story coming out of Steubenville, Ohio. And I'd like to preface this by saying, as a mom, if you are listening and you have young children in earshot, I am going to discuss this Steubenville situation. And it is a sensitive area. It's an adult topic. Of course, I'm going to use the utmost respect in the discussion. But if there are words you don't want your young children to hear and you don't want them asking about it, I would advise you maybe to turn down the radio a little bit while we do this segment. And I really just want to give you the heads up on that. So when we come back from our break here in 2 minutes, we're going to be discussing the Steubenville case. And I'd like to give you the chance maybe just to move out of earshot if you have to. So there you can consider yourself forewarned. I'm a mom. I have 4 children. And when I try to listen to the radio, sometimes it takes me by surprise when the hosts will bring up a topic that maybe I didn't want my children to kind of hear within earshot, even if they weren't really paying attention. So I'm always very conscious of kind of giving people the heads up, whether, you know, I'm going to be a guest on somebody's show or whether I'm giving a talk somewhere about something. So I figured I'd extend to you the same courtesy that I appreciate getting from other people. So that being said, I think I'm supposed to hit another button here in a minute. So we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back here on Conservative Nation Radio on the Warrior Catholic Show.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCS4automation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
And we're back. My name is Laura Ricketts. I am here filling in for Christopher Ricketts on the Warrior Catholic Show here on Conservative Nation Radio. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176. Once again, my name is Laura. I'm here filling in for Chris. He is your usual host. And I have the privilege of sitting in the comfy seat in the really high-tech studio, a.k.a. our living room, talking to you tonight about some issues surrounding our culture, surrounding politics, surrounding Catholicism. Once again, our call-in number is 718-305-7176. So just before I was mentioning, I'd like to really discuss with you for a little while our culture, where we are as a culture, where I feel we are in danger. And one case I mentioned before that I feel sort of encapsulates and really puts into focus where we are as a society right now is the case that's coming out of Steubenville, Ohio. I was a student at Franciscan University of Steubenville back when I went to college. And so the story kind of hit a little close to home. Back when I was a student there, I was in their youth ministry program. And as a student and then studying youth ministry, we worked in the area high schools. We would go into the high schools, we had permission, and we would meet the kids, and we'd go to their football games, we'd go to their cheerleading competitions, and it was really hands-on ministry training that we were going through, really teaching us how to reach out to teens and to bring them into the youth groups and into the different activities that we had planned for them to really try to encourage them in a relationship with Christ. And so when the story broke and I started hearing more and more about Steubenville in the news and on Twitter, and it's all over social media now. And on it, really, it was the blogosphere who really helped break the story to the full extent. And it really just kind of twists my heart. Steubenville, it's your lower middle class working town. It's not a slum. It's not what you used to be called a ghetto. It's not your downtown inner city Detroit. It's not inner city Chicago. It's a old, it's run down. It's a working class town. It used to be much more prosperous back when the steel industry was at its peak. But I think as such, as a working class, your middle America, lower middle class perhaps, but it's also a college town. I think it really is sort of a microcosm of where most of the country is right now. You know, we're in this, for lack of a better word, we're in this depression. I know people like to call it a recession, but how long do you have to be in a recession before it's a depression, really? And so more and more we're seeing that who used to be the upper middle class is now becoming the lower middle class. And we're seeing a much greater disparity between the haves and the have-nots. And I think Steubenville as a town is very much a microcosm of where most of America is at. And I think that's partially why it is such a good indicator of sort of across the board where we are as a culture. And if you're a parent, especially, I think there is cause for great consternation and a little bit of fear. I'm sure most of you know the background of the story, but there was a 16-year-old girl who was at a party. She was inebriated to the point of almost being unconscious. And in that state, she was taken advantage of. She was physically assaulted, sexually assaulted, and raped by two teenage boys. Earlier this week, those two boys were convicted, and we saw a horrible job by the mainstream media in the reporting. I mean, we're talking CNN using phrases like promising futures and very good students to describe those who were convicted of this crime. And CNN wasn't alone. It was every single mainstream media outlet, with the exception of, I think, Fox News and perhaps one other. And, you know, there are so many different aspects of this particular case that I find troubling and that I find indicative of where we're at as a society, not the least of which is, you know, how the media is reporting on it. But just think for a moment, what set this particular case apart from many other rape and assault cases is that investigators were able to piece together in a startlingly accurate chronological order the events of the assault as they took place. And this is because as it was happening, it was being documented via camera phone, text messages, your smartphone interfacing, using technology. And so as this young woman is being taken advantage of in every way, it's being documented and shared among her peers. Now that in and of itself is disturbing. But it gets worse because no one did anything. The people who were receiving the videos and the pictures and the text messages did nothing to stop it. In fact, they made some very disgusting comments, egging on those who were assaulting her. Those who were watching and standing by, taking the pictures and the videos, did nothing. So now we have, on top of the fact that there is a girl who is in absolutely no frame of mind to be able to, one, defend herself, and two, consent, she's being taken advantage of by two young men. And the whole thing is being shared and documented. And no one goes to stop it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a really big problem in this country. Because this, sadly, to many of the teens involved, wasn't a big deal. It's not like this was some freak occurrence and we can rest assured that the rest of the teenagers in America are appalled at this. Sadly, that is not the case. Those who were involved, both directly and indirectly, in this horrible assault on this young lady, they didn't think it was that wrong. It never occurred to someone to speak out. And maybe they knew that those videos or those pictures that they were receiving weren't right, but they certainly didn't have the moral fortitude or the courage to step forward and say something, to say stop, to say, hey, this is wrong. That's frightening. It's very frightening. And it's very indicative of where we are in America, culturally. To make matters even worse, then we have our mainstream media who likes to chime in as they're covering the trial. When the conviction came down, the two young men who were convicted, they were visibly upset. They were disturbed, as I'm sure anyone who hears that they've been convicted of a heinous crime would be. But we heard CNN lamenting the fact that they had promising futures ahead of them, that these were very good students who made a poor decision. Darn right they made a poor decision. And you know what? Maybe they were good students. But now they're criminals because they committed a crime. And when you're a criminal, poor decisions, aka crimes, have consequences. And you can kiss whatever promising future you might have had goodbye, because that's called justice. And what I think even disturbs me even more about the reporting that went on from the mainstream press about this case is that, one, you heard very little about the victim, which, okay, in some regards I can understand, because I don't believe any victim of this kind of horrible, horrible violence should really have to endure seeing their names splashed all over the place. However, in many cases, reports and stories were worded as such as to make it seem like perhaps she brought this on herself. Perhaps she isn't so much a victim as she somehow was at fault for what happened to her. You see, this is why you aren't seeing your typical second wave feminist groups saying anything and standing up for her. Because, unfortunately, they are very cozy with our mainstream press, and that is just not a narrative that they follow. You want to talk about a war on women? I mean, my goodness. To even insinuate that a woman, a young woman, who is, number one, not of legal age, she's only 16, number two, incapacitated to the point of being unable to give consent, she was inebriated, she was basically passed out, barely conscious. You want to tell me somehow she's at fault? I'm sorry, I have a really hard time wrapping my head around that. We have a really big problem in America with passing the blame and not taking responsibility for our actions. And this is a really good example of it, that these two young men who had promising futures, who were very good students, they just made a mistake. Yeah, they made a big mistake. It's called a crime. It's called ruining this poor young woman's life. It's called rape. It's called assault. It's called you're going to get punished. Promising futures. Well, you know what? Their promising futures are going to be on hold because now they're going to have to suffer the consequences. That's how justice works. But where is the justice for the victim of this? Oh yeah, guess what? It gets worse. Yeah, worse. And I will tell you all about it once we come back from our next here at Conservative Nation Radio. This is the Warrior Catholic Show. My name is Laura Ricketts, and I am filling in for Christopher. And I wanted to let you know that conservativenationradio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information,
using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are 4 times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor or mentor. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
And here we are again, here at the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. My name is Laura Ricketts. I am filling in for Christopher Ricketts here at the Warrior Catholic Show. 718-305-7176 is the number if you'd like to try to get on the show today. I'm not so great at hitting all the buttons and the bells and the whistles because I am, after all, just a guest host, but I'll do my best and see what happens if someone calls. So anyway, once again, Conservative Nation Radio. Here we are at the Warrior Catholic Show. My name is Laura Ricketts, filling in for my husband, Christopher, at 718-305-7176. So we were just discussing the horrible case that's come out of Steubenville, Ohio, surrounding the assault and the rape of a 16-year-old young woman. And I had just said before the break that, unfortunately, the convoluted story gets worse. And I don't believe I'm exaggerating when I say this. Now, the story up until now is that there was a party. There was a 16-year-old girl who was under the influence of alcohol to the point of inebriation, and that she was taken advantage of in every way, physically assaulted. Sexually assaulted. She was raped by 2 young men who were this week convicted. And that while it was taking place, the event was being documented by video, photo, text messaging, and that this so-called information, the footage, was being disseminated among her peers, among other people who were both at the party and not at the party. And really, it's shocking that, number one, we could even conceive of this happening. And number two, that while it was taking place, there was no one who would stand up and say, stop. No one who would say, this is wrong. So we had the conviction come down earlier this week. It turns out on March 18th, according to Reuters, 2 teenage girls were arrested in Ohio on Monday and accused of using social media to threaten the young victim, that's right, the victim, in the high-profile rape trial that concluded this past weekend. This is according to the Attorney General of the state of Ohio. There's a 16-year-old girl. She's charged with aggravated menacing after using Twitter to threaten the life of the victim, the Attorney General DeWine said in a statement. A 15-year-old girl is also charged with one count of menacing after making a threat on Facebook, he said. The charges came a day after a juvenile court judge found Steubenville High School football players Trent Mays, age 17, and Malik Richmond, age 16, delinquent in the August 12th sexual assault of a 16-year-old girl at a party while she was in a drunken stupor. Let me be clear, DeWine, the state attorney general said on Monday in a statement, threatening a teenage rape victim will not be tolerated. If anyone makes a threat verbally or via the internet, we will take it seriously. We will find you and we will arrest you, he said. WTRF, a local media outlet, reported that the two girls would appear before a juvenile court judge in Steubenville on Tuesday. Calls to DeWine's office seeking confirmation of the hearing were not returned, according to Reuters. A judge ordered Richmond held in a juvenile detention facility for at least 1 year and Mays for at least 2 years. Juvenile system could hold them until the age of 21. Both were required to register as juvenile sex offenders. At a news conference on Sunday, DeWine, the Ohio State Attorney General, said that he would seek a grand jury investigation into whether others should be charged in failing to report or stop the rape. Investigators interviewed 27 partygoers, but said that 16 others refused to cooperate. So when I said it gets worse, I wasn't kidding. Here you have the victim of a horrible crime who is now being targeted and threatened. I mean, really, this poor young woman, could it get much worse? And ladies and gentlemen, this is what I was saying when I said, this is our culture. I mean, this is America. These children, and they are still children, 16 years old, 15 years old. You might be a young adult, but you're not an adult yet. You should be planning your sweet 16 party and hanging out with your friends. Not trying to put your life back together after having it completely destroyed by two young men who couldn't control themselves and two girls who have now taken to the social media sphere to try to trash and tarnish and threaten. I mean, honestly, this speaks to something very wrong in our culture. And we have to be ready and willing to try to figure out what the heck it is and do something about it. Because the lives, the well-being of our young men and women are at stake. Now, it looks to me like I might have a caller. Like I said, I'm still getting used to all the bells and whistles here since I am just the co-host sitting in for my husband, Christopher, here on the Warrior Catholic Show. So I'm going to try to hit a button and we'll see if somebody talks. If not, we'll chalk it up to my inexperience and we shall move on.
In front of that camera and deal with
hello. Hello?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hello? Hi.
Hi. You're on Conservative Nation Radio on the Warrior Catholic Show. Did you have anything you wanted to add to our conversation today?
Well, I was just talking to a young lady. She kept hanging up on me. So, you know, she was trying to hurt my feelings because I told her. She was trying to hurt my feelings because I told her as a proud black man of the greatest country in the world, America, that I was proud to see that America gave me a chance to see my first black president in the United States, and I was proud of it. And for some reason, she didn't want to see me happy, so she was trying to come up with all this madness that he had did. But it was there when he walked in. Only thing he did was save it, but she can't give him his props because on the strength, I feel because he's a brother. I believe, you know, because if she ain't mad at Reagan, Bush, and the two Bushes, she should be mad at nobody.
I see. So did you get to vote in the last election?
Yes, ma'am. I voted And all three, I voted once for Reagan back in the days. I never voted for now one of the Bushes. I left them in the Bushes.
Well, you know what? I think that even though maybe we don't always agree on ideology, and maybe you and I might even agree or disagree on who some of our great presidents have been in the last couple of years,
I think it's
pretty wonderful that we can at least celebrate the fact that we
America gave me my black president.
And you know what? And you had every right to vote for him and to be proud that you cast your vote. And I think that's pretty American right there.
There you go. You know, and that's like I was telling her, you know, I ain't trying to put nobody down. Because, see, like she said, it's rotten apples on all trees. So we got to look at what's going on. So, like I said, don't try to mess up something good for me. Because we only had one black president. We had a lot of white president and did a lot of wrong, starting with Nixon.
Tell Laura how much in debt we are.
Well, we've been in debt before he came. Yes, we're more in debt, but we've been in debt. Look at all them jobs he created, and look at the jobs that we lost when we had them conserving president. So we ain't got the debt was there when he came. You got to spend some money to make some money.
I wish it worked like that for my family. If I could spend my way out of bankruptcy, I would absolutely love it. Unfortunately,
he didn't put the country
in
bankruptcy. Country was already in bankruptcy when he walked through them doors. He saved the country. If you listen to what's going on all the news, but Fox, that's the only one going to say that he haven't did them. But CNN, MSNBC, ABC, all the other news, they like, you know, Obama doing okay. Things changing. It ain't where it was 3 years ago. You know, people's jobs been created. I mean, they ain't the best job, but they've been created. More jobs than what Bush did in his 8 years than this man only did in 3 years. But, you know, he went over there. When I heard George Bush say he ain't worried about Bin Laden, but Obama and them, they got together, and we didn't lose not one soldier to get Bin Laden. So, you know, it's a lot that this man did, but nobody won't give him his props. But, you know, that ain't the America, because I thought America dreaming for everybody. Because when I sit back and I thank God that I can be here today, it's a God, America gave me a black president, you know. I'm proud of my country because I'd die for my country. I would go over there and fight for this country because, you know what, this is the greatest country in the world. But I'm not going to sit here and let this lie, your whoever she is, host, disrespect something that I think that's right.
Well,
so, you know, I'm going to stand my ground as a man.
I am glad that we can both agree that this is the greatest country in the world. I'm certainly glad you said that. I'm up against a break here, but I really want to thank you for calling. I do wish that those poor people who were hit by the sequester and therefore aren't getting paid, and all of those poor people who have lost their jobs because of some of the government bailouts and takeovers and unfortunately the economy that has gone down, I really wish that they would get to see those jobs that that you mentioned are first black president here created. Unfortunately, I don't think they've been able to find them yet. And I do also have to say, I do agree that it was wonderful that he was courageous enough to go after Osama bin Laden. I just wish he'd show the same courage with addressing the Benghazi situation. But I am digressing, and we are up against a break here. So I thank you for your call. And I would like to mention that, while we're on the topic of media that our caller so kindly mentioned, don't let the liberal media convince you that conservatives like us are in the minority. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1. If you respect American history and traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up, exchange ideas, and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, post your writings, swap ideas, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. I hope to see you there soon, and as I'm filling in for Christopher, I know I can speak for him when I say he hopes he sees you there soon as well. Here we are on Conservative Nation Radio. I am filling in for Christopher. My name is Laura here on the Warrior Catholic Show. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176. If you'd like to be part of the program, I'd like to hear what you have to say and see what you might want to contribute to our discussion today. We have been sitting here talking about the horrible case that has come out of Steubenville, Ohio, and we'll wrap up with that in a second. But since I did let our caller say what he wanted to. We are up here against a hard break in a minute. So before I start ranting to you about the culture and our sure demise, as I'm really being a Debbie Downer, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on Conservative Nation Radio, the Warrior Catholic Show.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
And we are back. My name is Laura Ricketts. I am filling in for Christopher Ricketts, who is the normal host of the Warrior Catholic Show here on Conservative Nation Radio. Our call-in number, if you'd like to chime in and add something to what we're discussing today, is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. My name is Laura, once again, filling in for Christopher. We were just discussing, before we were interrupted by our very polite caller who wanted to talk about how great America was, we were just discussing the story that came out of Steubenville, Ohio, and really I wanted to bring it to your attention and sort of all of the really horrible circumstances surrounding it, because I really think that it tells us something about where we are collectively, culturally. And I say this because, you know, these young men who committed this crime, who are now paying the consequences for it, they weren't born wanting to do this. They weren't born with the idea that they were going to grow up and when they were teenagers, they were going to assault this young woman. And I don't want to have a nurture versus nature discussion. That's not what this is about. It's much more about something in our culture conditioned them to reach the point where they were capable of committing this crime. And that should be extremely disturbing to you and I. And we could probably sit here all night trying to discuss what it is that conditioned them to behave in this way, to commit this crime. I have my own ideas. I don't mind throwing them out there. I would certainly say that in our culture, you know, it's cliche, but sex sells. I mean, it's everywhere. Everywhere. And certainly I would have to say that we live in what I would call a pornographic, pornified rape culture. And that sounds awful. And you know what? It is awful. Unfortunately, I think it's also our reality that our culture has pornified relationships.
You know, the average age for a young man to start viewing pornography used to be around age 11. It is now between the ages of 8 and 9. That's right. Single digits. And we have young men who are growing up on this stuff. Young men who are viewing pornography, who are therefore ingesting the idea that they can use women and that they can use them and then discard them. That, my friends, is the rape culture. Using someone and then discarding them. It's called utilitarianism. And the late, great Pope John Paul II warned against it time and time again in many of his writings. He happens to be a personal hero of mine, and I will quote him endlessly if given the right amount of time. But he told us that using another person for one's own gratification, utilitarianism, was a result of a disordered desire for love. And that's a lot. It sounds like psychobabble, and I really don't want to get into the psychology of it with you here. What I'm basically saying is, because of the fact that here in America, pornography is legal except in its most extreme forms, and because young men on average will begin viewing it around the age of 10, they are creating for themselves a very distorted view of, one, what women want, two, how women should be treated, three, the very fact that women are persons. You couple that with the fact that we've got sex everywhere. It's in video games, it's on TV, it's in the movies, it's in the magazines, it's in the books, it's in, you name it, that's, you're going to find sex there. We're a sex-saturated culture, and it's unhealthily not sex as it was created to be between a husband and a wife by God's Father. See, this pornified rape culture of ours basically conditioned these two young men to do what they did. I'm not excusing them at all, by no stretch. They deserve every bit of the punishment they get, and then some. However, I think it's rather absurd that, on one hand, we punish young men for basically acting out something that it's legal for them to watch. You know, these two young boys, they could have sat at home and watched pornographic films featuring assault, featuring rape. They could have sat and watched that all night long, and that would not have been a crime. But then, as soon as they decide to go out and do it, that's the crime, and as it should be. But I want to point out the absurdity of a society that says, hey, it's okay to watch it. It's okay to fantasize about it in your head. It's okay to watch, to listen, to even want to do that. And then, as soon as they do, then they get punished. There's an absurdity there. There is a disconnect, a cultural disconnect between what we're saying we will permit as a culture. And then we act all appalled and all surprised when something like this happens. Really? We're going to be that surprised? When these two young men could have been ingesting this stuff since they were 10 years old? When they could have been informing their brains that this was a way that you act? Because, you know, when you watch something, be it a TV show, be it a learning channel like, you know, PBS when you're little, be it pornography, your brain is creating these pathways and it's remembering what you see. So it knows how to act later on when it encounters a similar situation. So basically what we had was these two boys and boys across America who are teaching themselves how to act except the way they're teaching themselves, is wrong. The way they're teaching themselves is a crime. The way they are teaching themselves is dangerous. And yet, because we have this incredible cultural disconnect, we're going to act surprised. And we're going to act appalled, and we're going to say, oh, how could this possibly happen? They were such good boys and such good students. Really? Really. And then, let's take it a step further. We have this poor girl, this poor young woman, who has now not been victimized just one time during this horrible assault, but now there are videos, there are pictures, there are messages. You know, once that stuff gets out there, especially if it's posted to social media, it's there forever. I mean, this could literally haunt her for the rest of her life. And where's the outcry on that? Where are the people standing up and saying women do not deserve to be treated this way? Women deserve to be treated with respect. I don't care if she was inebriated or not. You don't take advantage of somebody like this. And then, like I said before, it got worse because the social media is now being used to target her and to victimize her once more. Ladies and gentlemen, this is indicative of our culture. This is where we are. We have a generation growing up in America who believes sex is casual and it doesn't have to have consequences. They believe they can use each other for their own gratification without consequence whenever they want to. They believe that people can be used for utility. They don't see people. We have an entire generation who is growing up who don't see each other as persons. That should be terrifying. Let's pile on a little bit. This generation, the one I'm speaking of, half of that generation is missing because they weren't even allowed to be born. Yes, America, this is your culture. Aren't you proud? Have I gotten you completely depressed yet? Are you just sitting there staring idly at the computer screen as you listen, just kind of rocking back and forth and sucking on your thumb? Really, that's not what I'm going for here. But I feel that if we're going to have a discussion about how we move forward and how we as conservatives, and here on the Warrior Catholic Show, how we as Catholics are going to change this culture, we have to know what we're up against. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is what we are up against. And so, I am sort of leaving you with this not very rosy picture, very bleak outlook on where we are as a culture and on where we are as the next generation is coming of age in our pornified rape culture of death. That's what we're up against. I mean, in black and white, that's what we are fighting. Now, before I have you running for the alcohol cabinet, drink responsibly, please, I'm going to say this. There is enormous, enormous hope. Yes, that's right. I said it, hope. As bleak as it all sounds, and as much as I believe this particular case that came out of Ohio is very indicative of where we are right now in America, I believe we have great cause for hope. We have great cause to be excited, great cause to look forward to the future. Now, why do I say this? I say this because we also have a generation who is rising up, who realizes that faith is important, who realizes that values matter, who realizes that as young people, it is their responsibility to come of age and make changes. And they can't do it alone. They need leaders, leaders like you, leaders like me, leaders like those who I have met working in the political realm, leaders who are willing to mentor them, to show them, and to pave the way. And that's what we're going to talk about
when we come back from our break here in just a few seconds here on the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Hey, my name is Laura Ricketts. I am here filling in for Christopher on the Warrior Catholic Show here on Conservative Nation Radio. I am still learning all the bells and whistles and the buttons that I'm supposed to push. So I probably messed something up there, but you know what? We're just going to plow on ahead and keep going. Like I said, this is Conservative Nation Radio. My name is Laura Ricketts, filling in for Christopher on the Warrior Catholic Show. Our call-in number, 718-305-7176, if you'd like to be part of the show. I'd love to hear what you'd like to contribute to what we have to say today. And in fact, I think we have someone sitting on hold. I am going to probably interrupt poor Barbara, who is acting as call screener today, and take this call. So bear with me here, and let's see if I can get the right buttons to push. Hello, this is Laura here on Conservative Nation Radio on the Warrior Catholic Show. You're on the air. And they hung up. Oh, well, I tried. I think I hit the right button. We'll see if they call back. In the meantime, let us continue. We ended the last hour sort of on a low note there, and I wanted to kind of throw you all a bone and say that I believe we have great reason to be hopeful and great reason to really look forward to what we have kind of coming down the pike as far as cultural change. And I don't say this lightly, because as you can see, I took the whole last hour just really hammering our culture and kind of using the case out of Steubenville to make a point about where we are in America and where our next generation is. And you know what? It doesn't look pretty. But I want to tell you a story. I am the executive director for the Guiding Star Project, and the Guiding Star Project, our tagline, is lighting the way to a culture of life. And as I said before, after my time in politics, I really started to feel that I needed to work for cultural change, that I really needed to focus my energy on engaging the culture and working to make it a culture of life. And so I took a job with the Guiding Star Project. I absolutely love it. Shameless plug, go check out their website, theguidingstarproject.com. But as such, as executive director, I went to the March for Life this year and participated in the events that took place there. And I have to tell you, as awful a reason it is to have to go to a march that's purpose is to end abortion, because abortion is legal in this country. And as much as I wish that it wasn't necessary, I had moments that were so encouraging. You know, I walked the crowds. I was there for many of the events, and so I got to meet a lot of the people who were there for different aspects of the march. And there were so many young people. So many young people there. And they weren't there because their parents dragged them. They weren't there because they just wanted to get a day off from school. They were there because they knew that they were missing friends, and they were missing classmates, and they were missing, in some cases, siblings. And they weren't going to stand for it anymore. They wanted their voices to be heard. And so they came to the March for Life to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Overrun with young people. It was so heartening to see that, as bleak a picture as I painted in our previous hour, we have young people in America who are more locked in, who are more informed, and who are bold and brave and willing to take on the fight that is before them. And like I said before our break,
They need leaders to pave the way. They need people like you and I who are willing to step up to the plate and say, you know what, I'm going to take on the culture because it's got to start somewhere. And if this next generation is going to come of age and they're going to be the leaders of tomorrow, then I'm going to do everything I can to let them come in, make change, and I'm going to pave the way. And so that's what you and I are called to do. And, you know, I think about it when the Tea Party movement first started. A lot of us were very excited. I mean, we were gung-ho. We rallied in D.C. I took my four kids. They were even younger when the Tea Party movement really was, I want to say, in its heyday. But when it was first getting going, we went to the rallies in Washington. We went to the Capitol building. I used to make them T-shirts. And I have some great pictures of them wearing their Tea Party little T-shirts. But I think a lot of us were hoping that even as the Tea Party and the conservative movement was really getting its legs under itself, we were also hoping that we were going to see kind of the light at the end of the tunnel and that we were going to see the fruition of our work and our energy and our hope that we were placing into this political, ideological movement. And I think now we are, you know, into Obama's second term. We've got a Congress that is stacked against us. I think it's easy to feel a little bit downcast. It's easy to feel nervous. It's easy to feel like, well, I tried. Oh, well. But really, I think in the larger picture, what we are doing is we are setting the stage. And that stage has to be set. You know, the American Revolution itself, it wasn't won in a year. And the stage had been set for that fight for freedom years before. And I think we need to adopt a mindset of, this is my battle to fight now. This is what I can do. And maybe I'm not going to get to see all of the fruit of the hard work that I'm going to put in, but I'm going to do my best to make it as easy as possible for that next generation of leadership to come in and fill my shoes and keep fighting the good fight. I mean, isn't that what we do in America? Isn't that at the core an American ideal, that we want for the next generation that which we didn't have, and we want it to be better for them and easier for them? And so we do our part here and now today to make sure that it happens. You know, I have to tell you the other experience I had last week that really gave me a lot of hope. And I had been really ruminating on sort of just depressing thoughts where we are as a country. I mean, culturally, we're going down the toilet. Economically, we're already in the septic tank. You know, how much worse could it be? Our freedoms are being stripped from underneath us. Our individual liberties are being targeted and taken away. You know, as a Catholic, I feel very at odds with our government, the HHS mandate being one of many reasons why. And it's been very easy for me lately to get very nervous, very scared, investigating different countries to move to should America continue down this path. You know, yeah, I'll admit it. I've looked into Australia. I've looked into other nations because I have children to raise, you know, because I want for them better than right now what is offered here. But I got a really good reality check last week. And the reality check came in sort of an unexpected way. Last week, the Catholic Church watched as the Catholic Church did its very Catholic thing and convened in Rome for the conclave, the papal conclave, and elected the next successor to the Apostle Peter in Pope Francis. And it was extremely exciting to get to watch it all happen. I mean,
sometimes I hate technology, and other times I am so thankful for it. And last week was one of the times I'm thankful for it. We had webcams of St. Peter's Square. I mean, who doesn't remember that poor little seagull who sat on top of that smokestack and became a Twitter celebrity and he didn't even know it? You know, we had webcams. We had live feeds. We had Twitter, smartphone apps. I mean, you name it. I was signed up for it all. I think when the white smoke came up, I got beeps on my cell phone and I got text messages and I got Twitter alerts. And I mean, there were bells and whistles going off all over the house. But what we witnessed last week was the Holy Spirit in action. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, he's always in action. We just don't always get to see it in so tangible a way. But last week, the Holy Spirit was on his game. The conclave convened. There's, of course, this speculation, and it's like, I don't know, fantasy football except for the papal conclave. And we watched and we waited and we hoped and we saw the black smoke and we saw the black smoke and we saw the black smoke. And then that white smoke came out of that smokestack. And let me tell you, the kids and I are in the house and we are just cheering. And then the world just kind of watched with its breath held to see who this man would be. And we were introduced to a humble man who stood at the portico and who looked out at the crowd and who looked out at the world. And he asked for prayer. And we all prayed with him. And in that moment, I was filled with such incredible hope. And it became very clear to me that right there, that was reality. You know, here in America, it's so easy for us to forget that as Catholics, we are part of a much larger body than just our American body. And I'm going to pause on that thought for 1 second, because I want you to assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America and our Constitution, just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic t-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives. So you're joining me now as we're reminiscing about next week here at the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. Our phone number is 718-305-7176. If you'd like to chime in and be part of the program, I'd love to hear your reaction that you had last week back when we found out our new Pope was named Pope Francis and that he was from Argentina. Were you filled with as much hope as I was? 718-305-7176. My name is Laura, filling in for Christopher Ricketts here on the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. So I, as I'm watching this unfold before me, and I'll be honest, I mean, there are tears streaming down my face, and I'm frantically Googling Cardinal Bergoglio to learn everything I can. I mean, let's face it, I totally geeked out on the Pope. I did. I stayed up half the night just learning everything I could about this man because he struck me as being just so humble and so holy and just so full of love that I was instantly smitten. But what gave me so much hope is that looking out into that crowd,
you saw, I mean, every age represented. There were babies, there were little kids, there were teenagers, there were young adults, there were older adults. I mean, they were all there. And they were all there for the same reason. And you couldn't pinpoint a majority or a minority when it came to ethnicities. I mean, it ran the gamut. And this hit me in such a profound way that I can't help but share it with you. And I will, right after we come back from our break here on Conservative Nation Radio and the Warrior Catholic Show.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Hig and Resch sent you. thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Hello and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And we're back. My name is Laura Ricketts. I am filling in for Christopher Ricketts here on the Warrior Catholic Show at Conservative Nation Radio. Our phone number, if you'd like to be part of the program, is 718-305-7176. That is 718-305-7176. If you'd like to call in, chime in. Give me your 2 cents. I'd love to hear if you were filled with as much hope and excitement as I was last week. And if that gives you a better outlook for the future as we face uncertainty in these incredible times that we are living in. And so I said I wanted to share with you why I was filled with so much hope last week. And I'm really hoping that I can articulate it, because I sort of had it really clarified in my mind. It clicked into place in my brain, which is usually not functioning where it should be, as I've got 4 small children here and we homeschool and, you know, life is crazy. But I realized that it sometimes is so easy for us to get wrapped up in our own little bubbles that we forget that God is so much bigger than whatever it is that we are facing in our own bubbles, in our own countries, in our own hemispheres, in our own corners of the world. And last week really was sort of a reality check. It reminded me that the Catholic Church, Catholic means universal, including all. And we saw that played out so perfectly last week. And we saw it in the different faces of the cardinals as they swore their oaths and their secrecy. We saw it in the different faces in the different countries that were represented in St. Peter's Square as the faithful gathered to wait to see who their new pope was going to be. And we saw it in the cheers and the jubilation and the excitement that swept through that St. Peter's Square. And, you know, I have to say
That filled me with more hope than I have felt in quite some time. Now, part of that, I'll admit, is probably my fault. I mean, I was involved in politics throughout the primaries and the general election, and we all know how well most of those turned out. So it's not like I had a lot of victory parties to go to, let's just be honest. And so maybe there was a part of me that just felt like, yeah, I get to finally be part of a victory party. The victory parties happened in St. Peter's, but I'm still part of it as I watch it on EWTN on my computer screen. And you know, that could have been part of it. It was like a Catholic victory party. But on a much deeper level, I think it was a really good reminder that as difficult and as, you know, scary things may seem here in America, here in my own town, here, you know, as we face family trials and tribulations, as everyone does, that there is a church, a universal church that I am part of, the body of Christ. And it is so much bigger than my little bubble. And that the Holy Spirit still has it under control. I mean, honestly, I am just thrilled to bits about the election of Pope Francis. I saw a great graphic on Facebook, I guess it was yesterday, and I think it really captured the way I was feeling after his election and after learning more about him and watching the first few days of his pontificate. And it was a picture of my beloved John Paul II and the words hope under him. And next to him was a picture of Pope Benedict XVI with the words faith. And then there was a picture of newly elevated Pope Francis and the words charity. And that graphic, it just crystallized, I think, the movement of the Holy Spirit and how he has been directing and orchestrating the church, at least throughout my generation. Now, I don't remember when Pope John Paul II was elected as Pope. I wasn't born yet, in all honesty. And up until he died, he was the only Pope I'd ever known. I mean, I grew up, he was the Pope. And so it was very odd, and I kind of had to get used to it when Pope Benedict was elevated to the papacy. And now I really feel that Pope Francis is very much a kindred spirit, and that the Holy Spirit completely has the future of the church firmly in his grasp, and that he knows exactly what he's doing. And, you know, I had the opportunity to articulate this a little bit last week, because I have to say I stumbled across some, what's the word, disturbing commentaries shortly after Pope Francis was elected by the College of Cardinals. And I'm just going to come out and say it, okay? I am not what people like to call your, traditionalist, liturgist, whatever. Okay, I am not your hardcore, I am only going to go to a 1962 Latin Mass, otherwise it's not valid. No, that's not me, okay? It's not. Remember, I went to the Franciscan University of Steubenville. I absolutely adored the charismatic movement, the Catholic charismatic movement. I love praying with the Holy Spirit. Don't get me wrong. I'll go to a Novus Ordo. I'll go to a traditional Latin Mass, and I can find the beauty and the majesty in it. But I am not what, unfortunately, has become almost, I'm going to get in trouble by saying it, but in some cases, it's like the fringe of the Catholic Church. And there are, unfortunately, those who cling so desperately to the idea of liturgy. And we're talking like 1962 pre-Vatican II Mass. That's like their litmus test. That it becomes a blinder, that you can't see anything else and anything beyond it. And it disturbed me greatly when
Pope Francis's papacy was, you know, not even 24 hours old, and already there is spew coming out from some what they call traditionalist Catholic circles, saying he was a horrible choice and, oh, this is going to be so bad for the church and, oh my goodness, what is going to happen to our liturgy? That's what I've heard. What is going to happen to our liturgy and the great liturgical strides that we have made under Pope Benedict? Okay. First of all, one of these gems was actually in Slate magazine. Yeah, Slate magazine. Because, you know, any good Catholic, when they want to hear about Catholic thought, is going to go to Slate magazine to read it. Yeah, right. Enough said. So anyway, I'm coming across this stuff, and it was actually my husband, Christopher, who is usually the host of this program. Remember, I am sitting in for him here on the Warrior Catholic Show at Conservative Nation Radio at 718-305-7176. And it was Chris who sort of brought it to my attention first, because he was just sort of dumbfounded that here we had a pope who, by all intents and purposes, was just the right man for the right time, and who we trust the Holy Spirit had his sights set on, and that is why he is pope. And yet there are some in the Catholic Church who, sadly, already looking to tear his reputation, to slander, to spread falsehoods, and who are expressing dismay and who are expressing worry. I mean, take a deep breath, people, please. And stop using the word liturgy. Yes, that's right. Stop using the word liturgy, because you're using it wrong. If you're going to call yourself a liturgical traditionalist, at least understand what liturgy and liturgical means, please. It will give you so much more street cred in the Catholic Church. Liturgy, okay, by definition, means public work. Right? That's what the ancient Greek translates to, public work. So in essence, liturgy is what the church does. The public work of the church. It, of course, nowadays has come to mostly refer to Mass. But in some ways, that's incorrect, because the actual word liturgy references the work of the church, the public work of the church. That's why within a Mass, you have the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. The work of the Word, the work of the Eucharist. Ah, light bulb, light bulb. Okay, so to call yourself a liturgical traditionalist really just doesn't even make any sense. First of all, call yourself something else. At least, you know, like the Sedevacantists, at least they came up with a kind of snazzy name for themselves. And for a while there, we actually were all Sedevacantists, so we had a little something in common going for a little bit. Now they're off on their own again, and hopefully at some point they'll kind of catch up and realize that they're just missing out on all the fun. But until that happens, let's turn back to our liturgical traditionalist friends, who are sadly sort of getting their own terminology wrong. You know, I was going to read you the Slate magazine article, but I think it's just going to make me want to break something. So maybe we won't read it. But the title of it was Why Pope Francis May Be a Catholic Nightmare. Yeah. Isn't that nice? It was written on Wednesday, March 13th, right, the day the Pope was elected. So they didn't really know anything about him, but already it was like, circle the wagons. Maybe he's all of a sudden going to ruin everything Benedict XVI did. And then where will we be? See, here we have a really great example of how some Catholics in America seem to forget that the church is bigger than America. You know, we sometimes like to delude ourselves into thinking that because we are American and we are the last remaining superpower so far, God help us all, in the world, that we therefore have an influence over everything. And there's a trap in that we kind of extend that to the Catholic Church. And we kind of tell ourselves, you know, oh, well, you know, I'm American. And we think that perhaps if we yell loud enough, you know, the Vatican's going to hear us over here in America, and then they're going to change something just because the Americans wanted them to. And that, you know, I mean, it's the same mentality that has the media all getting their boxers up in a wad whenever there's going to be a papal election, because they somehow think that maybe if they scream loud enough and get shrill enough that the cardinals over in the Vatican are going to hear them and, you know, stop being Catholic, basically. So let me finish my thought after we take a quick break here, since it is 8:30. Here it is at 8:30 at Conservative Nation Radio on the Warrior Catholic Show. And we will be right back, and I will continue that train of thought with you.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
And we're back. My name is Laura Ricketts. I am filling in for Christopher here on Conservative Nation Radio on the Warrior Catholic Show. You can be part of our program at 718-305-7176. Feel free to give us a call. I'd love to hear what you're thinking out there. That's once again 718-305-7176 on the Warrior Catholic Show. We were just talking about the election of Pope Francis and how there seemed to be some consternation among some Catholics who forget that the church is bigger than America and that the church doesn't operate like an American democracy, because it doesn't. It has canon law. It has a very different way that it is structured, a very different way that it goes about fixing its own problems. It has a very different way that they hold elections, per se. Although, I do have to say, the way they hold the elections, maybe we should start doing that in places where we've had, you know, like really bad voter fraud. Because when they're going to cast a vote in the Sistine Chapel, each cardinal, they walk up one at a time, so there's no confusion in the room. They have to hold their ballot. It's a paper ballot. They hold it up high, up like at their head. They hold it up. They bring it all the way to the front where there are other cardinals lined up. They place the ballot on like a silver tray, and then the tray gets dumped into a big bowl where the ballots are. And that's how they bring their ballots forward. Then once everyone's brought their ballots forward, it takes three cardinals. One takes it out of the bowl, reads it quietly, passes it on to the person next to him. He reads it quietly. He then passes it to the person next to him, who reads it aloud. And then after it is read aloud, it is handed to a fourth, who puts it on a big string using a big needle and threads it onto the string. I mean, talk about not being able to get away with voter fraud. If you all had to vote that way, maybe next election, that's something, you know, we should think of.
Come to think of it, maybe the whole conclave idea is something that we should really take another look at here in American politics. I mean, what would happen if we took all the members of Congress, we took out all the lobbyists, we took out all of the special interest groups, we took out all the pages, all of the non-essential people, and we taped the windows shut, took out the media, complete media blackout, we made them all swear an oath of secrecy, and we locked them into the Capitol building. I mean, maybe, just maybe, we'd get a budget. We would probably have to include something like denying them food, too, for, like, extra motivation, but it's a thought. It's a thought. I'm just putting it out there. But I digress. We're talking about those who seem to have some consternation at the election of our newly beloved Pope Francis before they even knew him. And this is bothersome to me because besides the fact that those who call themselves liturgical traditionalists are sort of getting the whole jargon wrong, it speaks almost of an unwillingness to trust that when Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," it's sort of like not taking Jesus at his own words. You know, we have that promise from Christ's own lips that the church will be taken care of. And he promised us later on in the Gospels that he would send his Holy Spirit. And one of the Holy Spirit's charges is to care for the church. And so why would we think that he isn't up to the task? I mean, he's God, right? And we believe that this is God's church. So why then would we even waste the mental effort concerning ourselves with whether or not Pope Francis is going to be a good fit for the church? Hello, the Holy Spirit thought he was a good fit. That's good enough for me. And you know what? I know some people are going to come back and they're going to throw the Avignon papacy at my face, or they're going to want to talk about how the fact that there have been popes who have had, you know, illegitimate children. And yes, that was way back during the Middle Ages, not recently. So those of you who hate the Catholic Church and want to like call in and troll, just forget it, because I don't even have patience for that. But even under those less than ideal circumstances, the Catholic Church is still around. She has still prevailed. And, you know, that's the really cool thing about God, is that he promised us in Scripture that all things work for the good. He promised that nothing is not outside of his purview. Nothing is out of his will. If he is allowing it, then it is not only for our own good, but it is for the good of the church as well. And so we can have complete trust in the new pope who has been elected, because we have complete trust in our God. We have complete trust in the Holy Spirit who filled the room as the election was taking place. And so to those who are completely terrified that somehow the election of Pope Francis is going to, what exactly, make it not permissible to say a Latin Mass or use the 1962 Missal? I mean, honestly, let's just think about it completely rationally for a minute. Here we have newly elected Pope Francis. He goes out the big window doors, onto the portico. He raises his little hand and just looks so adorable and so humble and so holy. Do you really think that he was going to, like, turn around, walk back through the doors and say, "Okay, first order of business, we're done with the Latin. In fact, I'm changing the official language of the church to pig Latin"? I mean, really? Really? Because that's what it sounds like to me. I mean, that's what these hyped up arguments and speculations sound like. You know, when the Holy Spirit orchestrates the election of a pope, it's a worldwide phenomenon.
And I think we can see this very clearly if we take a look at our three most recent popes, John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and Pope Francis. Because we can see Pope John Paul II was elected at a time when the church truly did need to enter what we call the postmodern era. He was our first postmodern pope. And he was elevated during a time of incredible international unrest. The Soviet Union was on the march. You know, don't forget, this was a pope who grew up under the Nazis and then under the Soviets. Okay, he went to seminary clandestinely. He could have been killed for going to seminary. Okay, so this man wasn't a stranger to the dangers of the world. And here he is elected as pope during a time when Catholicism was losing its attraction for a lot of people, when there was a lot of scared, uncertain individuals around the world, when people were, you know, coming out of the 1960s sexual revolution. We were in America, we were coming out of a very dismal implementation of the Second Vatican Council's documents. You know, that's just a fact. They were not implemented. The Second Vatican Council was not brought back to America in the way it was in other places of the world. And so there was a lot of unrest. There was a lot of uncertainty. There was a lot of upheaval. And Pope John Paul II came and he gave people hope. He brought the church into the postmodern times. He called for a new evangelization and a new springtime. And you know what started happening? The church started returning to the basics, to the sacraments, to the idea of mercy and love and penance and the Eucharist. He was a Eucharistic pope. And he brought us back to the fundamentals. And then he also took it a step further and told us about ourselves as persons, the dignity we have as men and women. His theology of the body is going to be, I believe, one of the greatest parts of his legacy. And what he did was he started to fill the churches again. He started to rekindle that evangelization in the church militant. And then as the churches are getting filled and as the evangelization is taking root and as a generation of Catholics, the Pope John Paul II generation that I am so proud to be a part of, came of age and started to take leadership roles in society, it was then that we were ready for a Pope Benedict XVI. And I will explain to you what I mean right after this. Make sure to join former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee on The Sound of Freedom with Hig and Resch, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. You've probably seen Carl on Fox and Friends. He's the well-known author of Battle on the Home Front and an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. That alone means he fits right in here. So listen to Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And once again, my name is Laura Ricketts. I am filling in for Christopher here at the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. If you'd like to be part of the program, we've got only about 15 minutes left, but you can still get in a call or two. It's 718-305-7176. I'd love to hear from you. That's 718-305-7176 here on the Warrior Catholic Show. We were just talking about how the Holy Spirit really had things under control back when John Paul II was elected Pope. And we kind of reached the conclusion that his charism and his role in the church was to bring a sense of hope to Catholicism. It was to bring a sense of hope to the world that he really started the new evangelization that honestly is in full swing right now, that he called for a new springtime and Catholics around the world were ready to answer his call, that it was under his papacy that the churches started filling up again, that we had a return to the sacraments and a return to the Eucharistic focus of our Christocentric religion. And that it was because of this, because of his papacy, that we were then ready for the papacy of Pope Benedict XVI, who I think many of us would agree, even our liturgical traditionalists, who I kind of hammered on a little bit, I think we'd all agree that part of his legacy, of his papacy, is that the church was ready to re-experience some of the majesty and some of the beauty that we find in that traditional Latin Mass, in the more Baroque aspects of the faith. And that it's precisely because Pope John Paul II and his charisms and his special mission, the special mission of his papacy, filled up the churches enough so that people were ready for what Pope Benedict brought to the table, if you will. Brought to the altar, for a pun. And so why then would we think that Pope Francis is going to come and just unravel it all? I don't see it that way. The way I see it is that Pope Benedict saw, through the promptings of the Holy Spirit, that it was time for him to step down because the church was ready for who was next. And that person was Pope Francis. And I will explain to you what I think is next right after this break here on Conservative Nation Radio and the Warrior Catholic Show.
Rella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits!
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to see you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep. There was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Conservative likes things to be predictable, dependable, and reliable. And like the true anchors they are, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher still roll out Soldiers of Patriotism Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Hey, it wouldn't be conservativenationradio.org without Michael B. and Uncle Bing, would it? Don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. We are back. My name is Laura Ricketts. I am filling in for Christopher, who is your usual host here at the Warrior Catholic Radio Show here on Conservative Nation Radio. Our call-in number, 718-305-7176. I would be happy to take your calls during the time that we have left. We were just talking about the succession of popes that we've had, at least during my lifetime. And I wanted to sort of give you my opinion on Pope Francis. And, you know, we had just said that
we wouldn't have been ready, the church wouldn't have been ready for a Pope Benedict if it hadn't been for a Pope John Paul II. And I believe we can say the same is true of Pope Francis, that the church, up until now, has not been ready for a Pope Francis, and that we would not have been ready for Pope Francis and the unique charisms that he is going to bring to the papacy and the legacy that he is sure to leave without having first had a Pope Benedict and having first had a Pope John Paul II. And so I say all this because I really want to just address in this forum that I am able to, what I have read from some of those within the Catholic Church who have been very hesitant to acknowledge the fact that the Holy Spirit picked Pope Francis, and you know what? He is your Pope. And you have, under obedience, the, I don't want to say duty because it sounds wrong, but you are compelled, that's the right, you are compelled through holy obedience to pray for your Pope, to respect him, and to follow what he says when it comes to matters of faith and morals, because it is through those matters, faith and morals, that a Pope is infallible. And you see, a lot of people forget that too. You know, it's okay for me as a Catholic to prefer going to a English, a Mass that's said in English, as opposed to a Novus Ordo or as opposed to a traditional Latin Mass. And it's okay for me because when Pope Benedict gave his motu proprio, when he said, you know, hey, we're gonna go back to this, and this is okay, and this is allowed, this is permissible, it's motu proprio. When that came out, when that happened, he wasn't speaking infallibly, but he was speaking as the Pope, as the head of the Church. You know, the infallible doctrine that the Church teaches, you can find that in the Catholic Catechism, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which if you are a Roman Catholic, I highly recommend that you get a copy. You can also find it online, actually, at the usccb.org has it online, and I believe the Vatican website, vatican.va, has it as well. But, I mean, that's your infallible doctrine right there. But on other matters, the Pope can guide, and the Pope can give sort of your guidelines, and he can articulate for the faithful where their boundaries are. And that is sort of what happened with the motu proprio. He said, yes, this is permissible. Yes, I even encourage it. But it's not wrong if this doesn't speak to your heart at this time. And I think what we all need to do as brothers and sisters in Christ, as fellow Catholics, is to remember that God, Christ, has given us many different forms of worship. He has given us many different forms of liturgy. Remember, liturgy means the actual public work of the Church. There are many different forms, and that one is not necessarily better than the other, because every person is at a different place in their faith. Every person is at a different place in their walk with God. And so who is to say that perhaps one form of liturgical worship might speak to one person and won't necessarily speak to another? And who is to say that someone like me, who really found a home within some of the more charismatic forms of worship, can't also find a home and find peace and find God and find prayer and experience the inner workings of God at a high Latin Mass? You know, God is much smarter than we are. It's why he's God. And he knows that throughout our lives, throughout our faith walks, throughout our journeys, there are going to be different forms of prayer, different forms of liturgy, different ways of experiencing him and his mercy, his goodness, and his grace. And so they are all available to us. And to become close-minded and try to put forth just one form as being somehow superior to the others does no good. It does no good for the Church as a whole. It does no good for that particular, you know, movement. And that this is what
there are some traditional liturgical traditionalists, is what they call themselves, that consider themselves to be a movement within the church, and that's fine. But it doesn't do your movement any good to adopt an attitude of superiority or to adopt an attitude of contempt towards everything else that isn't within your own movement. And so I guess in sisterly charity, I would like to caution those who sort of have fallen into this mindset, this way of thinking, this trap in the past couple of weeks, to just take a step back, to say a prayer to the Holy Spirit, ask Him to guide your thoughts, ask Him to bless the Pope, ask Him to bless the Church, and then just leave it at that. And then don't be surprised if you just see very clearly how He is guiding His Church on earth, how the Church militant is being shepherded. And I can tell you, I for one have every confidence that Pope Francis is exactly who the Church needs for this time, that he is exactly the right person to be shepherding, to be leading, and that his charisms that are already so evident, his love for poverty, his defense of the poor, his incredible charity, his extreme humility, that these are exactly the qualities and characteristics that the Church needs right now, and that we need from our shepherd, that we need from our Pope. And so that's what I want to leave you with. You know, I recognize this time has gone by very quickly. We've only got about 4 minutes left. I didn't even get to everything that I had planned because I had no idea how long I could talk on any one subject. And I would like to say, since I have the time, I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be able to sit here and to talk with you today, to talk about our culture, to talk about what gives me hope, to talk about what I hope gives you hope as well, that to have the ability to speak with you a little bit about our new Pope and where I see that the Church is heading, that I think we are going to be shepherded into a time where we really go back to basics, you know, to mercy as the heart of the law, as Jesus taught us, to our sacraments, to forgiveness, as the Pope Francis articulated in his first homily, that it's going to be through humility, that it's going to be through poverty. And if you want to know more about poverty, I really want to recommend to you reading Father Dubay, D-U-B-A-Y, book called Blessed Are You Poor. It will change your life. No joke. And honestly, a book about poverty might just be really timely because, you know, here in America, we're in the recession, depression, whatever you want to call it, sequestration. That's going to be in the history books. So I think that it's perhaps a very timely book, both in the election of Pope Francis and in what we're facing here home in the States right now, as our dollar continues to lose its value and our freedoms are being taken away. And well, you know it all. I don't need to leave you on a sour note. I do want to leave you on a positive note. A note that says, I am truly blessed to be able to spend this time with you, that so many of my dear friends are involved with Conservative Nation Radio. Some of them I have known way back since the Cain days, as we call them, and that they are truly outstanding Americans and outstanding patriots, and that as fellow conservatives, as those who hold the Judeo-Christian principles very close to their hearts, that I really just want to let all of you listening know that the people who are really keeping Conservative Nation Radio going, that they are the real deal. You can't get much better as far as your committed American citizens. And, you know, they don't say it themselves because they're too humble, but I want to say it. I want to get that out there, that, you know, your hosts on Conservative Nation Radio, your people behind the scenes, the people that you don't even really hear from. I mean, there are a whole lot of amazing Americans who are keeping this thing going, keeping it up and running, and keeping the airways open, and that it is their dedication, it is their love for their country, it is their love for their God that is exemplary, and that you, the listeners, should know that about them, and that I tip my hat to every single one of them, and I thank them very much for the fun that I had this evening. Next week, you will have Christopher Ricketts back hosting the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. And until then, I will say good night. And make sure you tune in tomorrow night for Hagen Resch. And on Friday for Christopher Manti's show. And with that, I will say good night. God bless you. God bless America. Thank you.